Well, good morning, everyone, and really lovely to be with you again. I see lots of faces that I recognise and remember from different contexts, whether it be when I did the church weekend or when I've been here or at some Transform or whatever. And so, it's just a real privilege to be able to come and be amongst you again. And Emma would have loved to have been with me. We came down late last night, having dropped our kids in Harpenden, who are off on a YWAM adventure to Albania. With a whole lot of other young people from Life Church. And we then came down to Emma's mum's. It's actually the first time we've been down for over a year, which feels not very good. And the only day they could gather all the wider family was today. So she has stayed to be part of that, and I'm going to go back and join them a little bit later. But she was very keen for me to send her love and say hello. And as I was sort of thinking about, I have to say, I had thought initially that one of the sort of words I've been carrying was out of Revelation 2, and I felt like, oh, I'll speak out of that. And then, just as we neared this, I began to feel, one, I wasn't sure I could do it in 20 minutes, so that was going to be a little challenge. And that got my attention again to go, well, I wonder what I should be, really, what God really wants me to speak on. And I felt like he laid in my heart just to share a few very simple thoughts around prayer. And in particular, please, I am definitely not the expert, so this is probably as much to me as to anyone. I am more naturally an activist who gets on and does, and I think if I'm not careful, that can be the expense of prayer. But I feel like during this holiday season, one of the things God's been wanting to get my attention with is an opportunity and an invitation from him to learn to go a bit deeper in prayer and to not just give myself to lots of activity, but to give myself to time with him. And I guess that is the amazing invitation that he continually makes to us, isn't it? To come near. The curtain has been torn in two. The way has been made open. We can enter in and live in his presence and talk with him and listen to him. And I think when we're thinking about prayer, the starting point is probably understanding both the pleasure and privilege of prayer. Jesus is the one who's made prayer possible by paying the ultimate price. And I read something a bit of time ago which just shocked me, like appalled me. And I imagine, as I tell you what I read, you will feel the same. I read how an older man who had lost his wife the previous year and whose son was in New Zealand had written to them and said, I am really missing your mum so much. And I am aware that I am now not able to travel and come and be with you. And so I would just love it if you would like to come and be with me sometime over this coming year. And so he said, I have put into your bank account what I think would cover for all your family to travel here and cover all the different expenses. It would be such a blessing if you were able to come and be with me sometime over this coming year. And the son wrote back and said, Dad, thank you so much for the money. We think we'd rather use it to go to Disneyland with the kids. Yeah. And I was like, there was something in me that was like, what? And yet, do you know what? I think sometimes we can be like that in terms of the amazing price that has been paid so that we can enter in to the presence of our Father in heaven. The greatest price that's been already paid for us to be able to do that. And yet so often, I choose other things. And I go, oh, I think I'd rather do this. Oh, I'll get caught up with what's happening in the sporting world. Oh, I'll do this. Oh, I'll do that. We have this incredible privilege and invitation. The way has been made open. The price has already been paid. And of course, there's a whole lot of different aspects to prayer. And in not many more than 15 minutes now, I can't cover all those different aspects. You know, you could spend a lot of time talking about adoration. You could spend a whole lot of time talking about confession. You could spend a whole lot of time talking about what it means in prayer to be those that listen to him rather than just talk to him. Lament. There's all sorts of different aspects of prayer. I want to just take a few minutes to talk about intercession, or what some people might call petition. Because one of the really powerful things about intercession is that it expresses both faith and humility. As I said, too often my energies can go into what I can do to change a situation. I see something, that's not quite right. What can I do to change it? Yet, when we prioritize prayer over activity, our focus becomes on what he can do rather than what we can do. Our focus becomes on his activity, not our activity. How will Exeter really be different? Well, it'll be different if we just have the very best worship songs and the very best worship leaders. That's what will change Exeter. Guess what? No. Well, it'll be if we can just run this most amazing program. That's what will change Exeter. No. It's his activity, not our activity. When the dedication of the temple took place, what did God say? He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, the Bible says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. One of the ways we express our humility and don't stand in opposition but come into that place where we receive his grace is by humbling ourselves and getting on our knees and seeking him and reaching out to him and saying, we can't do it. Only you can do it. I simply just want to look at a few examples that I trust will be a help and inspiration to us from the Bible. The first is that of Moses. In Exodus 17, Joshua, there were two battles going on. One down below and one up above, as it were. Moses goes up the mountain. The key issue in terms of whether the battle on the ground below gets won is all about whether Moses keeps his arms up high. Exodus 17, verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands were made steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. There's more attention on what's going on with Moses' hands than what's going on with Joshua's sword. There was a battle to be fought, and it was a battle of prayer. God wants to raise up an army of intercessors and prayer warriors. And I have to say, intercessory prayer is not always easy. It gets contested. Sometimes we have to try and push through. You can get weary in it. Sometimes we need others to help us, to help us to keep holding our hands up. This gets contested because it's so powerful. I know some of the challenges I face, just tiredness, can make it harder for me to press through and keep on praying into different things and for different things. Distraction. And I have to say, in today's age, it's like, especially if I'm not careful, I can begin to pray and then my phone makes a buzz or something happens and I almost have to be ruthless about, and I wish I could say I always am, but it's so easy to get distracted. Guess what? If this gets contested, if we can that easily be distracted, guess what will happen? Almost certainly you'll get a buzz or you'll get something. And then, because this matters. There's a battle to be fought. There's arms to keep lifted high. Discouragement is another thing that can cause me to almost... We've had things, I've prayed for things that we've not seen the breakthrough that I've believed for and wanted, and it can make you, am I going to put my hands up again for this situation? Would I rather not almost be disappointed? Pressure to do. There's a book that I haven't read. There's a lot of books I haven't read, is the honest truth. And not just the one, but its title makes me think I maybe should read it. The title is called Too Busy Not to Pray. And I understand the sentiment in that. It's like, do you know what? Because the danger is I can begin to think, the busier I get, the less I pray. Actually, the more that's happening, the more I need to pray. There's a battle, and this gets contested. The second example I was going to mention is the example that we've already heard about and has already been read about. It's Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, who hears about the situation in Jerusalem, hears how God's people are. And what does he do? He doesn't just go, tut, 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 I'm sure I'd do a better job. Oh, dear, these walls, how'd they let that happen? Oh, no. For days, his response is, for days, I mourned and fasted and prayed. That's his response. It was to get down on his knees. And I love that. And actually, do you know what? I think it was really significant you read those verses off the back of what we were doing. Because I wanted to commend you for praying. Chris, thank you for leading us in that. For praying for the government, for our leaders. Because in today's society, and with some of the leaders across our world, I have to say, if we're not careful, it can be very easy not to focus on talking to our Father in heaven about them, but talking to one another and going, oh dear, what do they think they're doing? And what's this person like? And what's that person like? God, what's the world coming to? Tut, 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 tut. Dear, dear, dear. Are we talking more to one another and moaning to one another, or are we bringing our leaders before God as we are called to do? There's a responsibility laid at our door, given to us. S.D. Gordon said this, our prayer opens the door to God for a world that would shut him out. Our prayer opens the door to God for a world that would shut him out. When the disciples said, teach us to pray, one of the things Jesus said is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are invited to ask that heaven would come to earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. The third example is the example of Hezekiah. And you might, if you've got whatever you have, whether it's an actual Bible or you might like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. And this, the context of this is that Hezekiah is basically being mocked, and not just him, but words are being spoken to the people saying, what does Hezekiah think he's doing? Does he think your country's going to be safe? Don't you see what all the Assyrian armies have done to all the other nations? What makes you think this God of yours is going to save you? And it's like, it's mockery, it's ridicule, it's a threat that's coming. And as this threat is laid out, and he receives this letter what's Hezekiah's response? Verse 14 says, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. What's he going to do with it? Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It's true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Hezekiah receives this threat, he receives this letter. He doesn't, first of all, take it to lots of other people and go, what are we going to do? He lays it before the Lord. That's the amazing invitation that we have. The different threats, the different concerns, the different burdens that we carry, we can either just take it on ourselves, or we can bring it all and lay it out before God. We can lay out our concerns, our fears, our challenges before him. He invites us to do that. Paul wrote to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't have to be prophetic to be in a group this size. I mean, to be honest, it could be a group of three or four people. You know, life throws all sorts of things at you, doesn't it? Most of us here probably are carrying different concerns, burdens, things that are weighing on us in some way. And even as I'm speaking, there will be things that you're aware of that are like, that's heavy on me. Don't just carry it yourself. Lay it out before him. Bring it to him in prayer. By prayer and petition. And as you lay it before him, as you lay it out before him in prayer, allow his peace to come. Sometimes I find in the middle of the night, I wake, and then it's like, my mind begins to go into overdrive. And I find myself thinking about scenarios which I might be worried about or concerned about, or situations or a particular church that I'm responsible for or whatever. And stuff begins to play on my mind. And if I just lie there and I just think and I go, it doesn't do me any good at all. I'm like, I'm best either lying there just to lay it before God, but actually I find that sometimes I have to just get up and go and just begin to bring it before God and bring the situation that's so bothering me and worrying me and stirring around in my head. And instead of just worrying about it, praying about it. And suddenly it lifts. I can go back and I can sleep, which seems reward enough, I have to say. Corrie ten Boom said this, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Don't take on a burden that you don't make into a prayer. And the final example is that of Paul. And we're not going to look at anything that he's particular. But if you did a little, you could, in your own time, if you wanted, read each of his letters. And early on, you will nearly always say, there's one or two exceptions, but nearly always, in the first early remarks, you will find he talks about how I constantly remember you in my prayers, or I give thanks for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. Or he's all these different people he's praying for. He's an amazing example, isn't he? Because you go, God, what an impact his ministry had. And yet a lot of the time, there was a whole lot of limitations on what he could do. He was in prison for much of his ministry. And yet, so what did he do? He wrote and he prayed. He prayed and he wrote. It's like, wow, there's lots of stuff I can't do, but I can do this. And I find that really challenging. It's like the amount of people he's covering in prayer, the amount of situations, the amount of churches. It's inspiring. If you're a Christian here today, I can almost guarantee there was someone who was praying for you. I have to say, I know that I've lived in the good of my mum and dad's prayers, and actually my godparents' prayers. I had some amazingly godly godparents. One in particular, my godmother, has prayed for me every day, and I'm 51 now. And she's still dead keen to hear from me so she can be knowing what to pray for. What a privilege. My mum and dad didn't come from Christian homes. My mum, four of her five sisters became Christians in the space of about 3 years. One sister, and then my mum, and then another sister, and then another sister. And you go, well, God suddenly broke into that family. And a few years later, it became clear to them that they had an aunt who had been praying for their family faithfully for years and years and years. My dad didn't come from a Christian home. We're not aware of any particular relatives praying for him, but you know what? He went to a school, and there was a school teacher there who was a Christian, and he took it on his heart that he began to pray for my dad day by day by day throughout his time at the school. And when he'd left school, the first summer after he left school, he was in school in Scotland. He went to Pittodrie, which is Aberdeen's football ground. He heard Billy Graham speaking, and everything in him wanted to respond. And he went, but this isn't what public school boys do. And he resisted. But 3 months later, he went to Cambridge, and John Stott was speaking at a mission. And he heard the gospel again, and this time he wasn't going to miss out. And he surrendered his life to Christ. Praise God for his praying school teacher. I believe this season, it's a bit different over the summer. It's an opportunity for us to say, do you know what? It's less about my activity, it's more about your activity. And to try and take some steps to go deeper and to grow in this amazing relationship that he's made possible through paying the highest price. So maybe we can just take a moment to pray as we finish. Lord God, we firstly just want to thank you for all that you have made possible. I pray for each one of us here. Lord, would you help us to take some new steps where we've got discouraged in the way we pray or somehow lost our way a bit. Would you help us? Would you inspire us afresh? Would you help us to grow in our prayer lives? Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to take some definite, clear steps, to make time, to not allow ourselves to be distracted, to break through. And as we come before you now, we thank you that you know everything going on in each of our hearts and lives. You know the things that are of particular concern to us, are burdens to us. And right now, he's here. I just want to encourage us, wherever we are, as it were, to almost lay out, just quietly. We haven't got a physical letter, but you can just lay it out before God. What's the thing that's most concerning you? What's the threat that's coming at you? What's the fear you're carrying? Whatever it is, take the opportunity right now to lay it before him. Lord God, we bring before you now all these fears, concerns, challenges, burdens. We invite you into every one of these situations. You're bigger than them all. You're sovereign. You're seated on the throne. You're high above every power and principality. We pray you would come into these situations. I pray that the peace that transcends all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in the knowledge that you have been left with these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much for your welcome. Privileged to be with you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Andy, very much.